Time now for School Talk and kind of a recap this morning. I have two guests with me in the studio. We have with us a familiar voice from this side of the microphone. Chairman of the board, Steve Kaur, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I don't have you here. There we go. Try it again.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. And the superintendent of school district number two recently completed his first year. How about that, Craig Merringer? Craig, good morning.
Thank you. Yeah, good morning.
Hey, I got to tell you, it was probably a good thing I wasn't on with you this morning.
Because?
We would have a pretty good time with Anthony Bouchard. And that old thing.
Romeo?
Romeo. That's getting interesting.
When it's all said and done, someone's going to say, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Yeah, that's probably a good thing I wasn't here.
Probably is.
You know, it's...
We would just kind of feed on each other, and the next thing you know, we'd be in trouble.
In trouble, exactly. Exactly. Skeletons in the closet. That's a big skeleton, by the way.
That one will hang around for a while.
Yeah, it's got some staying power.
Like every day this week.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, let's talk about this past year. Craig, your first year in the book, and a memorable one it is.
It was very unique, but it was a good year, very good year. So
you're pleased.
Oh, man, when I got here in July, the first thing we did is to plan for what might not happen the rest of the year. And so we had great people around us to help us plan. And in August, there were bets on how far we were going to go before we weren't going to go. And we made it every day except for Mother Nature then, September 8th. So it was a good year and a lot of really positive things throughout the year. And we had sports. We had, I think we had 13 different plays and choir and music concerts. And so it went well.
School board happy?
Very happy. And then the May meeting, we couldn't quite share all the YTOP stuff, but I've seen them. This community is going to be very impressed with what our teachers did with our kids. Our scores are good.
You're talking the assessment scores.
Right. And we weren't allowed to, we found out, they were embargoed, so they really couldn't share them, but we've all seen them. Once we were able to release those, I think the community is going to be impressed with what our teachers did.
When do those come out?
I don't know.
They didn't put a timeline on there. Well, hopefully soon.
Yeah. But they're good.
Why would they embargo those things?
I don't know what the deal was.
They're waiting for scores across the state. They were waiting to get everybody's scores in, and some of them the percentages may change a little bit across the state. Ours were pretty much where they were. And I think what they showed is we did well with the regression and then even did better than that. So
there was a lot of talk when we talked with folks all year long on this program that the feeling was we didn't only make up what we lost, but we've gained this year. And I guess the scores are going to reflect that.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, history is probably going to answer this question, but right now it would seem that those kids who were able to stay in school this year got a huge advantage.
I think all the research we're seeing is indicating they're better off in a brick building than they are sitting at home.
And a lot of kids didn't get to do that this year.
Yeah, we had I just kind of wrote down some numbers here. I believe we had lost 156 kids in that area, and many went virtual, homeschooled, and did remote learning. We anticipate that we'll get a lot of those kids back starting in the fall.
Yeah.
Because everything's indicating that you're better off in front of a teacher in person.
I guess you have to do research, but common sense tells you that.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
There's something about, you and I could have this discussion on the phone, but it's not as good as to sit here and I can see your face and I can see a response. I can see your reaction to a question And there's a nonverbal communication that I.
Yeah, even with a mask on, I mean, you can tell.
Well, and you get that immediate help. I mean, as the kid gets older, it gets harder for the parent to help the student. I mean, most of us probably couldn't pass an eighth grade math class unless we were in there. But so the face-to-face, there's so many things that go with that. And the academics is just a part of that. The other part is working through challenges. If you are at home and doing this by yourself, you know, there's a point of frustration that you can't go any further. And in person, you got that expert in the room that's going to help you through that hurdle.
Well, and I think there's something to be said about a teacher being able to see mm-hmm. when a kid gets it and when they don't. And then you respond in your teaching. You know, these kids aren't getting it. I got to back up and, you know, whatever it is, that kind of stuff. You lose that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that aha moment.
Yeah. When was the crisis moment, or was there one this year?
You know, there right after Thanksgiving, we did some practice tier three. We called it practice days in case we had to go remote. We had one of our elementaries. We had several teachers out, lots of kids, and so we were at that point afraid that, you know, if it got much worse, we may have to shut down a building and go remote with that building. And then we came back after Christmas and waiting for it to get worse, and it just got better every week. And so, you know, we were really excited to see that. So we kind of hit our hurdle was right after Thanksgiving.
How close was it to making that call? Looking back, it's always fun to see how, you know, behind the scenes, how close did that get?
You know, it's hard to say. It was one of those decisions you don't want to make because you're going to lose whatever. So.
Well, I can tell you that I didn't know that. And so that, it didn't get to the point where it came to the board where, you know, Craig's like, we're close on a building. That didn't happen. I didn't know that.
So it never really.
I knew our numbers had gone up over Thanksgiving.
It never got to that critical stage.
No, right. It never got that far. But we got to the stage where we thought we better start practicing just in case. So
you talked about the bets. Everybody had to lose.
Yeah, I heard October.
October was about as far out as anybody went.
Right. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah. I cashed in after September 8th.
That was your side.
Yeah.
And that was just another freaky thing in this pandemic year, that September 8th.
Yeah,
it was a crazy, crazy thing. As you look around the state, how'd you do relative to other districts? How do you think, Steve?
Well, I think we did great. The fact that, you know, we had some basketball games that didn't happen, but it was because of the other school. We never had to cancel anything. We never had to postpone anything. And there was a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot, but there were several schools that had to do that, had to deal with that. And we didn't have to. So I will say this. You got to remember, and you know, your grandkids are in the K-5 situation, and my grandkids are in the K-5 situation. My two grandkids that are in school never once complained about wearing a mask to me. And, you know, and I asked them, what do you think of that? It's no big deal. I always say this. K-5 kids are the most resilient people. We're as parents, we protect our kids. There's no doubt. But sometimes the protection goes too far because our kids are so resilient.
Yeah, it's called a helicopter, and there's a lot of helicopters. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I could see it because these kids would be walking home after school. And they'd still have their darn mask on.
Yeah, and I drive by them and go, you don't need to put your mask on. You're outside. You're by yourself walking. But they did. And you went to the I went by the school bus every morning. School bus stops. Those kids, masked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the parents had a lot tougher time with that than the kids did.
But overall, our parents were good with that, too. Our whole community did a good job through that. I mean, there was always those concerns and situations, and most of the time, once you talk through it, they were okay with it.
Yeah, there was plenty of school boards across the state that got, you know, inundated with, we need to get rid of the mask in February and March, and we had a parent show up at our May meeting, and And I think he was more geared towards starting in the fall. Let's not have masks, you know. And it sounds like that they're going to, I don't know what what'll happen, but hopefully we won't have to have masks.
Well, I'll make another bet I'll lose and say they won't have to have masks.
I'm with you on that bet.
Okay. Did it take the entire community to play ball in this to make it work?
No doubt.
Absolutely. I mean, and we read around what's going on in other communities, other states. I mean, the whole state of Wyoming did remarkable. One of the few states, what was it, one of two states that had 90% of the schools, 90% of the kids in person. And, you know, our seniors are going to walk out the door with a huge step ahead of most of the other graduates in our country. And that's a tribute to everything that happened in our schools and outside our schools. Like Steve said, we had every sporting event. We never had to cancel event.
But every district made their own rules on that, right? I mean, like attendance policy to sporting events.
Yeah, I have to give the Wyoming State Department of Education a little bit of credit here. They firmly believe in local control, and I believe in local control. I mean, I'm worried about what's going on in Green River. I don't care what's going on in Rock Springs and Farson when it comes to education. I'm worried about what's going on in Green River, and they allowed us to do that.
So from district to district, there were different rules.
I think so.
There were some general guidelines.
Even in between District 1 and District 2 here in the county, in terms of attending an event, how many could attend, how many per athlete, how many, all that stuff seemed to be different. Because I know we'd go to a different school, and I'd call ahead to find out what the rules were.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned.
And I'll tell you, hats off to. I can't imagine what a difficult year it was for Tony Beardsley.
Yeah.
To have to manage the numbers and manage the mask wearing and the kids get testing and all that stuff that went on to be able to pull off an entire year of activities without. That's an amazing feat.
Well, either he masks it very well.
He does.
Or it's a case of he thrives on that.
It could be, but.
I mean, he seemed to just get.
You think about it.
Jazzed over all
he
that.
He pulled off a 16-team Tolman wrestling tournament?
Right. That was unbelievable.
How do you do that?
It was unbelievable. And yeah. We learned a few things about maybe how we'll do it differently.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Make it better.
Yeah. He sat here last summer and told me, my plan is I'm going to go ahead and do it until somebody tells me I have to stop.
Yep.
That was in June, I think,
right.
Of last year.
Right.
And he pulled it off.
Well, we hosted tournaments where other communities
had none.
Had none, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned the mask thing. Sheridan, one of the districts up there, dropped their mask, and the next thing you know, they had a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you guys were watching that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was it all mask-related, you think?
Well, let's see. You take the mask off, and you have major problems.
Connect the dots.
Yeah, a week later.
Yeah, you keep the mask on, and yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, one couple other things I wanted to mention this morning. The people out there need to know that the school district in Green River fiscally is in very good shape. Now, were we? You were talking about the moment where we had the potential train running off the tracks. The legislature was, we as a board were watching that very closely because the trains could have gone off the tracks. But they did end up doing nothing, and that doesn't mean they're going to have to do something. We know that. But fiscally.
That train's going off the tracks.
I think so, too. But fiscally, going into what potentially could be a disastrous year next year, we're fiscally in really good shape.
Good.
We were able to give our employees a 2% raise. Which cost about $700,000, roughly. We're able to do that because we had 15% of our budget in reserves. And going into this next fiscal year, we will have 15% in our reserves. We took Charlie Scott's comment in the legislature is when you get your money, you better save it. But we've been doing that for years. So fiscally, we're in good shape. A little concern about the enrollment. You know, they do a three-year rolling average on the average daily membership. So this year we lost 85 kids on that three-year rolling average, which equates to about $1.2
million.
Yeah. And we've lost 156 kids this year, so that'll go into that rolling three-year enrollment. But we get credited immediately for kids that come back to school.
Well, that'll buffer that.
Yes.
That average.
I feel, and you know, with the plan, Jenner Project, what they're doing out of Genesis Alkali, the Trona mines are starting to bounce back, and that's what I've been told, that the price of Trona is going up just a little bit, which is helping them. We feel that we're going to need some houses. That's what we think.
What you think?
Yeah.
Well, you can't get a house now.
Nope. Right.
Just ask any real estate agent how difficult that is. So, 1 year under your belt in the district, your summary, your analysis, your thoughts.
Well, I'll tell you, I was very fortunate to come to Green River. I mean, when you look back on it, when I applied here, you did some basic research, and it's got a great reputation. But you really realize that reputation when you walk through the hallways and you see the people doing what they do. I mean, across the board, from, you know, our kitchen staff to our maintenance to our teachers in the classroom, and we had very little concern when we started the year. There was the normal concerns about, you know, what if, and we didn't have those answers. And to everybody's credit, they just jumped in. I mean, we made it through the year, and then, gosh, Christmas time, you're going, holy cow, we got half a year left, and you come in after Christmas, and things were cruising along. There were some unusual stresses because there's some unknowns, but I'm just, it's remarkable how well it was handled, and we made a lot of better right decisions along the way, and there were some mistakes. I always will be when you deal with 2,400 kids and 530 adults. But there was a lot of really good things happened because of the people in the buildings.
Any time in the past year did you second guess yourself and say, why did I do this?
July 1. But it got better. July 2nd was better. July 3rd was better. And you know, now here we are. So it was good. You know?
What? Anything particular about July 1?
It was my first day on the job.
And you were thinking then? Maybe?
Yeah, yeah. And luckily, you know, Jamie Christensen did a good job of leading me into this. He called and emailed me and kept in touch. And so the transition, thanks to Jamie, was good on my part. But we were dealing with things that I had never dealt with in 35 years in education. This was not something you can go, oh yeah, I've been there, done that. It was first time, and so it was a little scary, but you know, it went well. A lot of good people helping make those decisions that led us to where we are.
Well, you talked about making good decisions and making some mistakes, and I likened this whole thing to building an airplane after you take off.
Yeah, that's what it felt like at times.
And you said wasn't the case of been there, done that, but you couldn't find anybody who'd been there and done that. So there was no resource.
Yeah, and it was, you know, you like to read up on things and try and catch up. And we didn't want to read to see, you know, the articles come out of the East Coast and what they were doing, and that did not match what we were doing. And so it was really just put your best foot forward and try to fix it, you know, if there's any mistakes along the way. And we had some, but you know, we got it cleared, and we got to celebrate on Monday. We had a barbecue for everybody to thank them for what they did, and we had music and food, and just to thank everybody in our district for the great work they did this past year.
It wasn't a bit of a celebration, was it?
Oh, it was huge.
It was so, a good hamburger, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they deserved it. It was that kind of.
Absolutely, they did. Yeah.
The success that we had, was it really tied to our size? I mean, we're small. We're little. We're
comparatively
micro market. Yeah. Not small market. We're micro market. I mean, when you look at the scale.
Al, I've lived here 35 years. You've lived here for a long time. Are you surprised by this? I'm not. I am not surprised that the people in this community pull together and do what we always do. Remember the day after September 8th, what this community did?
Yeah.
That's what we do in Green River. But I'm not surprised.
But I also think a part of it was we had some pluses. You know, we weren't a metro area of 15 million
yep.
people.
Mm-hmm. That's why we live here.
And that's why we have more people moving here, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe maybe building more houses is not a good idea.
Well, I'm not so sure you're going to get a lot of support for that.
Yeah.
It goes both ways, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Well, congratulations. It was a tremendous year. I didn't have any kids in school, but I've got some grandkids in school. And I also have some grandkids that weren't in school all year in some other places in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am concerned about them.
Yeah.
You guys really gave us a leg up here.
Yeah. The good culture in this area. Yeah. Very strong
good people.
Culture.
Well, congratulations. Thanks for joining us. Good
Thanks.
Luck next year.
Thank
yep.
you.
It could be a letdown next year.
Oh, we'll find Nothing some. We'll find some.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get some surprises. But the morale in the district is in great hands because of Craig and his team that he's put together. And I've been told by many people that it's nice to see the superintendent in the buildings. It's nice to see who he is, what he's all about. And so I think the culture and in terms of the morale is really good right now in our district. I think you can ask any teacher and they'll tell you.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Doing yeah. well.
I'll have to reintroduce myself with the mask off, though, because I don't think anybody recognizes me, which is good.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank
morning.
You.
Congratulations. School District 2 wrapping it up with a recap today with the board chairman, Steve Corr, and superintendent of School District 2, Craig Berenger, on today's edition of School Talk.